I want to tell you about my very first cruise. I had to go, just had to go, because it was a historical cruise. You can look it up online, www.middlepassage.com. Well, I decided that I wanted to go because we were going to have a funeral on land, and we were going to go halfway across the Atlantic Ocean between Senegal and the United States and pay homage to our ancestors who are buried in the Atlantic. I really wanted to be a part of that, and I did everything that I could to become a part of the Middle Passage Monument Project. Well, the day came. Sure enough, they made me in charge of the libation, set it up for 100 people, 500 people showed up. The next day, we had a sunup to sundown funeral. 22 different African nations were represented. Little did we know that behind the scenes, the company that owned the ship, the cruise ship that we had hired, sold the ship. And the new owner said he didn't want us or the monument on his ship. He didn't sign the contract. He didn't have to live up to it. And so Wayne James, who's in charge of the Middle Passage Monument Project, contacted all of the maritime schools, the maritime union, anything that had anything to do with a boat, he called them. Well, little did we know that he did acquire another ship. While the funeral was going on land, I was talking to this sister, and I was looking this way, and I saw the ship move in the New York Harbor. And I looked, and I stopped, and I said, "No, no, no, we can't go on that ship. We can't go." And everyone else looked at me like I was crazy, kind of like you're looking at me now. Well, let me tell you, that ship was an exact duplicate of a slave ship. And I said, we can't go back and pay homage to our ancestors in a ship that looked just like the one that left them there. I said, let's do it on another day. But you know and I know that there are people out there that think if you don't do something on schedule, it is a failure. And so they insisted on going. Well, I'm the griot, and I said I would do this. Now, let me tell you something on the side. I was born in the old school, won't say how old, and I'm living in the new school. So in the old school, your word was your bond, and if you said you were going to do something, you had to do it. So I was standing on the deck doing this. I should be like young folks, tell them where to go and how fast to get there. But no, no, no. I decided that I was going to stay true to who I am, and I boarded the ship. Now, if you go online and you look, it will say in 1999, the week of July 3rd, we had a heat spell. Everything was in the 90s and the hundreds. When I stepped on the deck of that ship, I felt cold. My fingers were cold, my ears were cold, my nose was cold, and I was afraid. But I stood there. Another sidebar, let me tell you, just in case you didn't know, to all the African Americans in the audience, you know and I know, when it's us together, sometimes we have those conversations where we bring out the fact that we didn't come to America on a cruise ship with a social calendar. We start talking about some of the hardships. Well, I got news for you. I looked at that Statue of Liberty, and I was so proud to be an American until I stood taller than my 6'2" would normally allow me. And I imagined that I would remember that Statue of Liberty for the rest of my life because something told me I was not coming back. Sometimes you have a premonition. Well, let me tell you, I found out something that it's darker than dark on the ocean. It was dark outside, and the water was a different texture, and it was even darker than that. And I watched that statue until I couldn't see it anymore. And then I decided to go below. Because I had said, no, let's not do this right now, those people that I knew so well, you know, my best friends from the internet for 10 months, they all stopped talking to me. So there I was in that ship, in the bottom of that ship, in this room that shapes like this, you know, all by myself. I slept through the night, and when I woke up, I felt drugged. I could barely move. There was a smell on that ship that I never smelled before. I could taste it, I could feel it, and I couldn't function. Come find out there was something wrong with the motor, and they were priming it with diesel fuel, and they had spilled diesel fuel, and that's why I couldn't breathe. I had to literally crawl my way up to fresh air, throwing up twice on the way. I felt better once I was up there. Well, to make a long story short, because you heard we got 7 minutes, you know. To make a long story short, the motor broke, the fuel pump broke, the toilets and the showers stopped working, the generator caught on fire. There I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a ship that was on fire. What's wrong with that picture? Well, we did manage to get the fire out. Since I'm the griot, I said to everyone, let's hold hands and pray that we're going to be all right. And there was a Muslim sister from New York who was very nice on land. I don't know what happened to her. Well, let's just say she turned into the devil's doll, baby. Well, she started fussing at me, and she says, no, we're not going to pray. Who put you in charge? She said, you're going to be praying to that Jesus, and I'm only going to pray to the Almighty Allah. And she said, so let's forget it. And Wayne James, who was the man in charge trying to keep the peace, he said, well, why don't you all go and pray in your own corners? There's not a lot of corners on the ship, but that's all right. And so what I did was I acted as if I had gone back to being a little girl. You see, I was always told where there are two or more in his name, and if I didn't have someone to pray with me, I would pray twice as hard, like I'm two people, and that's what I did. But 2 seconds after I got finished praying, the water under the ship was turbulent. The water under the ship lifted that ship and threw it around, and I fell. But you know, when I looked the distance between this stage and out in that lobby, the water that would be out in the lobby was calm. The only water that was restless and rough was the water that was under the ship, and I was so afraid. Well, we drifted. We had no power. I didn't find out until later that the ship drifted, 30.6 point something miles towards Africa. But the problem is, that was against the current. How did that ship float against the current? I believe that the ancestors were trying to take us home. They were trying to protect us, because when they looked at that ship, it looked like the one they were on. And when they looked at the crew was Caucasian, and the 11 passengers on that ship looked like me. Now you're going to leave here tonight and tell everybody that I'm certifiable, but I'm going to tell you this. Every last one of us saw somebody on that ship that didn't come on there with us. They didn't sign on. Dora Lee, who was the cook, she said she saw a man come through. Didn't say open the door. She said the man came through her door 3 times that week. Other people saw other people. Well, I was afraid. To be serious with you for a moment, I was very, very afraid. You see, fear makes you think crazy things, and I thought my God couldn't find me because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I was so tired of being afraid. You wake up afraid, you go to sleep afraid. One day I just said, Jesus, 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 I'm here, Father, I'm here. And I got angry because I thought he didn't come to me, that he wasn't there to help me. They said I fainted. All I know is when I woke up, I saw 3 men who didn't sign on with us walking towards me, one in the front, another one a little ways to the side, and one almost behind the guy who was in the front. They never talked to me. They never touched me, but they had this bit of a smile on their face as if to say, baby girl, you're going to be all right. Well, long story short, because you know they're ringing the bell. We can talk about this at another time. It's www.middlepassage.com. I'm diabetic. There was no power on that ship. I was almost into a diabetic coma. All I can say to you was this, the sweetest sleep you ever had in your life. And so I was falling asleep, and my daughter, who's somewhere in the audience, and she hates when I do this, she said, "Ma." And I said, "Malaika, leave me alone." And I was going back to sleep. She said, "Ma." I said, "Let me wake up and give her a piece of my mind." And when I woke up, she wasn't there. But she was in Baltimore, and she was troubled. And she called her baby sister. And my two girls were on the phone crying, saying, "There's something wrong with Mama." They airlifted me out. And you know what I did before they did? I got me some water and some dish detergent, and I washed up, and I put on clean, you know, Mama told you you had to put on clean. And that was the summer when everything was that bright orange, so when I had to climb off of that ship, I looked like the dot in a karaoke song. That was just a one big round circle, you see? Only to find out that the ladder did not go all the way down to the water. I had to let go. Okay? The next time I see you, the next time I tell you the story, I'll also tell you that there were three major storms, and on the second storm, I fell in the water. And a man by the name of Melvin Cooper jumped in to save me. He lives in Atlanta somewhere. He jumped in to save me. Everything on the top was violent. Everything under that water was cold in the middle of a heat spell, and it was slow. And my chest and my head exploded, and he saved my life. Well, that was my first cruise. I don't even fill the bathtub now. I put about that much water, and I just splash. Thank you.